News broke today that New York Giants wide receiver Darius Slayton underwent surgery on a core muscle injury, and he is going to be out for the entirety of the spring. This report dropped from NFL Network. Mike Garofolo and Ian Rappaport breaking the news this morning. And so the New York Giants now have two of their top three receivers down and out with injuries. Of course, Malik Nabers still recovering from a torn ACL. He's not going to be available during the spring practices. He might not even be ready for the start of training camp. And now you have Darius Slayton also sidelined for the spring practices. Although this report does say he should be ready for the start of training camp, this leaves the Giants a little bit thin right now at wide receiver. Of course, they did sign Calvin Austin this offseason, Darnell Mooney. They just drafted Malachi Fields, so they do have bodies. But with Darius Slayton now sidelined, well, what does that mean for the Giants, and what does it mean for a potential Odell Beckham Jr. reunion? That's what we're going to be diving into in today's episode of Fireside Giants, which is presented by Prize Picks. I'm Anthony Rivardo, and let's waste no more time and dive right in. So, this is the report from Mike Garofolo this morning. Darius Slayton recently underwent surgery for a core muscle injury. Sources tell me in Rap Sheet, Slayton will miss the spring, but is expected to be a full go for training camp. The New York Giants have practices coming up here in the next week or two. They've got a couple of weeks of practice, and then they're going to break for most of June, as you guys know, with OTAs and minicamp forthcoming. So that's kind of the off-season practice schedule. There's a few in May, and then it kind of chills out, and then training camp rolls around in July. But in May, this is a pretty crucial time for chemistry to be developed. Now, I don't think it's a big deal that Darius Slayton is missing some crucial reps with Jackson Dart. Like, he played with him last season. They've already got whatever chemistry they've got. But I do think this does open an opportunity here for some of the other receivers on the roster to develop this chemistry with Jackson Dart. And that's where I'm going to go with this. I view this as a pretty big opportunity for Malachi Fields, who the Giants just traded up to draft in the third round of this year's draft. Malachi Fields, the wide receiver out of Notre Dame. Yeah, he ran the 4.61 40-yard dash, not the fastest guy in the world, but he looks a lot faster on game film. And when you watch him play, he's a gamer. He gets open. He makes crazy one-handed catches. He's a good possession receiver. He's a smart wide receiver. And so I think that Malachi Fields is a player that could really exceed expectations for the Giants as early as his rookie season. And I do think this is an opportunity for him to gain some chemistry with Jackson Dart. So with the top two receivers on the Giants depth chart right now sidelined being Malik Nabers, and yes, believe it or not, Darius Slayton is probably still looked at as a number two receiver on the depth chart. With both of those guys off the field, that creates an opportunity for the players behind them to move up the depth chart. So now Darnell Mooney on paper is WR1 for the New York Giants. WR2, is that Calvin Austin? Is that possibly Malachi Fields? I don't think it's Jalen Hyatt. It could be Isaiah Hodgins. He's in the mix now still. So those are the receivers that are going to be getting the bulk of the reps during the spring practices. And these spring practices are completely unpadded practices. They are in shorts and t-shirts running around, but they are learning the offense and they are learning timing, and they're learning language and dialogue with each other and how to communicate and all of those other kind of like minor details that are kind of crucial to an NFL offense. So as the Giants are now trying to install this new offense and get these guys in the mix and grouped in, you know, you've got players who are going to create opportunities for themselves within that. And Malachi Fields could be one of those players. I think Malachi Fields is a very underrated prospect, a guy that I think will surprise a lot of Giants fans this year. I keep reading more and more about him, and I keep seeing reports of other people inside the league, like coaches and general managers, who feel like the Giants got a steal and who feel like the Giants got a player that's going to start for them this season, probably ahead of Darius Slayton. So right now, the projected receiving core, like I said, WR1 Nabers, WR2 is probably Darius Slayton, WR3 being Darnell Mooney, and WR4 could be Malachi Fields. And again, your number one and your number two are probably Mooney and Fields during those spring practices. And I think that's awesome for Jackson Dart to start developing that chemistry with Malachi Fields, get that timing down, and see how much he likes throwing to this rookie that has a lot of potential. So I'm pretty excited for Malachi Fields to get that opportunity and curious to see what he's able to achieve during these spring practices over the next few weeks here. So I also want to dive into what this could mean for the Giants' pursuit of Odell Beckham Jr. But before I do get into all of that, I just want to give a quick shout out to the sponsor of today's episode, which which is Prize Picks. So just jumping over to take a quick look at Prize Picks. If you guys haven't heard of it yet, it's America's number one sports picks app. It's a daily fantasy sports platform that's super easy to use. No complicated lines to worry about. As you can see on the screen, just pick more or less on a few player stats and lock in your lineup. Super straightforward and available in most states, including California, Texas, and Florida. So taking a look at Prize Picks right now, they have some great lines, of course, for the NBA playoffs. You guys can make some picks on that, but I'm going to go ahead and scroll over to NFL season and look at some of these new picks that you can make on the rookies. Like, they do have some of these guys, like if you go over to sacks, Arvel Reese, and I'm going to take more on 2.75 season sacks. So basically, Arvel Reese needs to put up 3 sacks. I think he's going to do that. Giants are going to use him, yes, as a will linebacker, but he's also going to go ahead, rotate, and pass rush on passing downs like third and fourth down. I think he puts up 3 sacks this year. And then Myles Garrett, more on 14 sacks feels easy to me. Guy put up like 25 sacks last year. 14 at this point, as crazy as it sounds, it seems kind of low for Myles Garrett. He's that much of a monster. So I'm just going to take those 2 sack lines, build my lineup, and submit. It's that easy. You guys could see just how easy it is to make picks on Prize Picks, and it's super fun. Plus, you can follow me on Prize Picks at Anthony Rivardo. Tail all of my picks. Check out all of my lineups there right here. I just won some picks last night with the New York Knicks and their win over the Atlanta Hawks. Clutch game there. So, guys, like I said, check out Prize Picks. Use code HMA. Click the link in the description. You will get $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup using code HMA. So good luck. Enjoy the games. Remember to always play responsibly. So like I said, the Giants' top 2 receivers are now out for all of the spring, and the Giants have been diligent in adding depth to this roster recently. Yesterday, they signed Shelby Harris, which we recapped on the channel. Definitely go check that out. But later in the day, they also signed Leaky Fotu, I think is how you say his name. He's another defensive tackle. He's another depth piece. So not only are they looking to make upgrades here and there where they can at defensive tackle and different positions, but they are still looking to round out the depth on this roster. And one of the kind of common denominators in all the depth pieces that they've brought in has been experience. And Odell Beckham Jr. is a player that we know the New York Giants are interested. And we know that OBJ is interested in the New York Giants. And Odell Beckham Jr. is experienced. And not only is he an experienced receiver, 33 years old, been in the NFL for over a decade now, but he also has experience under this coaching staff or something similar. Of course, I'm referring to when Odell Beckham Jr. was with the Baltimore Ravens in 2023, and he was being coached by John Harbaugh and some of the assistants on that coaching staff. During that time, Odell Beckham Jr. made an impact. He was pretty good that season. If you go back and you watch the highlights or the film, whatever, if you look at even the stats, his stats are pretty damn good too. He had some pretty explosive games, but overall, he was a very steady WR2, WR3 contributor on that Baltimore Ravens team that should have gone to the Super Bowl, should have won the Super Bowl, but of course, they kind of choked it in the postseason. So I think that there are a lot of different things to take away from Odell Beckham Jr.'s time with the Baltimore Ravens. Number one, a lot of fans who don't want Odell Beckham to re-sign with the Giants, they point to his time with the Giants from 2014 to 2018, and they say he was a locker room cancer, he was a problem child, he was a prima donna, he was everything negative you could say about him is probably true, though, because he did have his issues when he was here with the New York Giants. And a lot of those issues persisted, and they kind of continued to stay with him throughout a lot of his career. But I do think there was a chapter turned in 2023 when he was with the Baltimore Ravens. I feel like he really evolved and grew as a person when he got to Baltimore. Odell Beckham was no longer a star when he got to the Ravens. Instead, he was a contributor. He was a WR2, 3, the third or fourth or fifth, even sometimes, option in that offense. That was a new development for him to kind of sit back and take on more of a passive role in an offense. So while he's taking a passive role in the offensive game plan, he was taking a proactive role in the locker room. If you go and you read about Odell Beckham Jr.'s relationship with Lamar Jackson, with Zay Flowers, with the other young receivers in that room, and of course with, and this is the most important, head coach John Harbaugh, you will find a few terms that everybody uses to describe him during his time with the Ravens that nobody seemed to use to describe him when he was with the New York Giants. Leader, mentor, high character, right? These are all things that we heard about Odell when he was in Baltimore, and these are the traits that he possessed that left an impression on John Harbaugh. And that's why John Harbaugh recently said at the NFL Scouting Combine that Odell Beckham Jr. is one of his favorite people on the planet. And he said that he's one of his favorite players that he's ever coached. And he said that he would be interested in coaching him once again. And I do think this is a Giants receiving core that's very young, very inexperienced, and they could use a mentor. They could use a leader. They could use a guy that used to be a prima donna superstar wide receiver in this NFL and then evolved into becoming a veteran mentor and leader for younger players beneath him. That's what Odell Beckham Jr. is, and that's kind of what the New York Giants need, because let's take a look at the NFL draft, for example, and I'm not talking about who the Giants drafted. I'm talking about who the Giants drafted a couple years ago and how he reacted in a very public setting to who the Giants were drafting. Yeah, I'm talking about Malik Nabers going on the Bleacher Report app, live streaming, giving his instant takes and reactions to the picks that the Giants were making and publicly criticizing the New York Giants and publicly criticizing their selections and not being excited about the players that they were picking, despite those guys now effectively being his teammates. That happened. And I don't think it's worth making a big deal out of it. I think that the way John Harbaugh handled it was proper. He basically said, you know, Malik Nabers had questions. I sat down with him. I explained to him how we're going to use Arvel Reese, why we drafted Francis Maui-Noah. Now we're on the same page and he's happy. That's kind of what John Harbaugh said. And he also said he's his own person. He's independent. He had confusion. So did the fans. A lot of people did. He had every right to vocalize those things. I'm not going to stop him from being an independent person. That's essentially what John Harbaugh said. And I love that. And I think that's really important. It's like we finally have an adult in the room. I said this on Giants Collective recently. If you guys haven't subbed over there, definitely check that out. We'll be live tonight. But what I said essentially was, over the last few years, Brian Daboll refused to speak on matters like that. Malik Nabers getting caught in the public attention for something that's kind of negative, right? What would Brian Daboll do? I spoke to him privately and we're going to keep it private. That's it. That's all he would say. And then that just created more mystery. It created more people talking about it. And it actually made more of a distraction out of something that should have been minor. That's how I feel. Over the last few years, whenever Malik Nabers had the concussion protocol and he went to a concert after he already cleared the phase. If Brian Daboll clearly explained to reporters, well, he's out of the phase of the protocol where that concussion would have affected him, right? He could have said that. He could have said that. Instead, he said, I'm going to keep it all private. So then everybody was confused about where the discipline was, where the accountability was, and why that happened, because he didn't explain it to the media. John Harbaugh is actually there explaining things, being, you know, honest and providing clarity and ending the narrative. Nobody has talked about the Malik Nabers draft night debacle since it happened and since John Harbaugh addressed it. So him addressing that, I think, is very important. And my larger kind of narrative that I'm building here is the Giants have an adult in the room here with John Harbaugh, and they have somebody who can kill the media narratives and keep everybody on the same path and striving towards the same goal. But also, in that receiving core, you do have a young superstar in Malik Nabers that probably needs additional guidance. And I think that Odell Beckham Jr., knowing everything that he knows, having learned everything that he learned, having gone through the turmoil that he went through last time he was a member of the New York Giants, he has a lot of experience and wisdom and learning experiences that he could share with Malik Nabers and say, hey, this is why you don't do this. This is how you should do it instead. Trust me, learn from my mistakes. Hey, the media will try and run you out of town if you do this. So don't do this. Do this instead. Odell Beckham Jr. can share those lessons with Malik Nabers. He can mentor him. He can guide him. And I'm not just talking about in a football sense, because Nabers doesn't need that much guidance in terms of how to be a good football player. He's already elite. But he does need some guidance on how to navigate the New York media, I think. I think there have been some opportunities for, or there have been some moments where Malik Nabers has made a minor mistake and the media has jumped on him, or the fans have jumped on him as a result of it. And I think that that's just a lack of experience. That's being a young kid. That's being a new, fresh face of the organization thrown into the biggest media market in the NFL. And that's exactly what Odell Beckham Jr. experienced. Odell was way too good for a rookie, but he also was way too famous and way too popular, way too fast. And that affected him, and it affected his NFL career. I don't want to see anything like that happen to Malik Nabers. Not saying that I think it will. I think Malik Nabers definitely has his head screwed on straight. I think he's a good kid, and I think he's a really dedicated football player. But again, there have been moments where he's opened up an opportunity for fans or the media to kind of attack him and push at him because of something that he did or said off of the football field or on the sidelines or in the locker rooms, right? Outside of the game of football. And that's where I think Odell Beckham Jr. can be a really good mentor and leader in that young receiving core and for Malik Nabers. But on top of that, let's talk about the football for Odell. Odell Beckham Jr. isn't going to drop the football. Darius Slayton is sidelined, and Darius Slayton is not going to be taking up those targets during spring training. Who could take those targets? A sure-handed receiver like Odell Beckham Jr. or Malachi Fields also doesn't drop the football a lot. But if they want another veteran in the room, they see the upside in the leadership of Odell Beckham Jr., pairing up with a guy like Malik Nabers and some of these other youngsters. They also will see that, hey, he was really impressive in his workout. He was consistently clocked over 20 miles per hour, according to Carl Banks. He looked really good. He looked healthy. He looked younger than he did last time he was on a football field with the Miami Dolphins, even though he's older. So Odell Beckham Jr. is clearly physically fit and in shape to play in the NFL. Is he going to be a WR2, a WR3? Is he going to put up 500 yards this year? Probably not. But is he good enough to make an impact and contribute during the spring and the summer? Absolutely. And he doesn't drop the football like Jalin Hyatt or Darius Slayton does. He's sure-handed. He's got veteran savvy. He knows how to sit in between pockets of zones. He's got tremendous football IQ. There is still a lot of value to be had from a 33-year-old Odell Beckham Jr., especially knowing that your top two receivers are sidelined as they recover from respective surgeries. So, sign Odell. I think that the Giants should sign Odell for all of the reasons that I just listed. The leadership, the mentorship, the familiarity with Harbaugh, the mutual respect that he and Harbaugh have for each other. But above all else, I actually think that he could contribute, at least during the summer, as a very solid practice player. And all you're doing is signing into a one-year, non-guaranteed, probably veteran minimum contract. If he doesn't look good in the summer, he stinks at training camp, bye-bye, you cut him, and there's no penalty. That's it. He gets his summer with the Giants. The Giants fans get their summer with him, and they get to say goodbye to each other. Mutual respect. They get to kind of close a chapter and get closure on a relationship that ended abruptly. That's what happens there. And I think the fans would appreciate it. I think Odell would appreciate that. But I think most importantly, Jackson Dart and the rest of the offense will appreciate having a capable and dependable veteran receiving target in that locker room. And I think, or on that practice field rather. And I think in the locker room, he'll be appreciated for the mentorship and the leadership and the high character that he has and that he demonstrated to John Harbaugh in 2023 as a member of the Baltimore Ravens. So again, guys, I think that signing Odell is a smart idea for all of the factors that I just listed. If you disagree, that's totally fine. I know a lot of you will, and I'll definitely read through your comments down below and kind of, you know, just hear out your thoughts and opinions. But at the end of the day, guys, I just think this is an opportunity for a couple of things. For Odell Beckham Jr. to get back on this roster, yes, and provide that leadership to the locker room, but also for the young guys to take this opportunity and do something with it in the spring. The spring practices, like I said, are unpadded, but they are learning the offense, and they are seeing who fits into which route better, who plays the Z better, who plays the X better, who can be the backup for this player, who can get the timing down with Jackson Dart on this route concept. Those are certain small minor details that overall add up to a larger picture, and they start to get worked out in the spring practices, like I've said. So I would love to see the Giants really give an opportunity to Malachi Fields here, to some of these other younger receivers on the roster, to jump up into that starting lineup and get some of those targets and develop some of that chemistry with Jackson Dart during those spring practices. I think that's really important, and I think it's going to be really exciting. So those spring practices are coming in a couple of weeks here. You guys know last year, I covered every single one. Every single day that there was a mini camp or an OTA practice, I did a practice takeaways video on the channel. That was kind of ridiculous. But if you guys want me to do it again, I'm doing it again. So get excited for daily practice updates for mini camp and OTAs. We'll talk about the rookies. We'll talk about the progress of, you know, last year, this is where we started to see that Cordell Flatt was taking a step forward. In the spring last year, Cordell Flatt had a few pass breakups. He had several interceptions. He was the best cornerback on the roster during the spring practices. That carried over to training camp and into the regular season. So there are certain things to take away in the spring that do make an impact come time for the fall. And, you know, other things like Obviously, the offensive line, they can't move anybody really, so you're not going to see a ton there, but we'll start to get an idea of where Francis Maouinoa is spending most of his time. Probably at right guard. Does he get in there a little bit at left guard? Does he play a little bit of right tackle? You know, do they have John Runyon with the first team, or is Falele going to move in at left guard potentially? Like, these are things that we'll start to see in May during the spring training practices. So again, guys, keep an eye on all of that. I think it's going to be really fun. I'm very excited for it. And you guys know I can't wait for the Giants to be back on the football field, whether it's spring practices or regular season. I just want to see the Giants suit up, and I can't wait to see what number Arville Reese is wearing, where he's lining up in the defense. All of that is going to be a ton of fun. So guys, let me know what you think down below on Darius Slayton's injury, on the Giants' potential interest in Odell Beckham Jr., and of course, who you're excited to watch in the upcoming spring practices. Drop your thoughts down below. Leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. And if you're listening to Apple or Spotify, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. And definitely go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go New York Giants.